This podcast is presented by Regions Bank. You're chasing your goals, and it's up to you how you want to get there. Let Regions Bank coach you with financial tips that fit your everyday grind. Visit regions.com/next-step to learn more. Regions, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Super Bowl edition of the AP Top 25 College Football Podcast. I'm Rob Motti, AP Pro Football Writer based in Philadelphia. I'm here on Radio Row in Miami hosting daily shows all week as we get you closer to seeing the San Francisco 49ers and Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 54 on Sunday. Ralph Russo will be back next week and throughout the offseason for the College Football Podcast. We've got several guests on this episode, interesting conversations, plenty of fun. Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, former New York Giants Pro Bowl wide receiver Victor Cruz, Bears running back Tariq Cohen, the Griffin twins Shaquille and Shaquem from the Seahawks will be here, XFL Commissioner Oliver Luck, and we got a couple Hollywood stars, Lily Singh and Busy Phillips. So let's get started. Joining me now is Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Marshall, before we get into what you're doing, because I love this cause, man, it's awesome. As a running back, when you look at the San Francisco 49ers and this team's ability to, they play some smash mouth football, but the way Kyle Shanahan runs his offense, it's a smash mouth, I call it old school with a twist, because he's got so many innovative ways to create open space for his guys. How, when you look at that, man, imagine playing for a guy like that.
Yeah, they use deception with all kinds of motions, all kind of smokes, all kind of behinds and arounds to create backside issues. And then they're basically running the old school zone plays that his dad ran when they were in Denver.
Yeah.
Which if you run those plays and you're running the arounds and stuff like that in the smokes, and that end has to hold backside of that end, and that linebacker has to hold backside, and you crease it, I mean, it's touchdown. And that's what they've done a lot of. And I like the creativeness and the way that he's doing it. And it doesn't matter which back is back there.
Right.
I mean, they'll gouge you.
No doubt. And now when you look across the other side, right, the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, as dynamic as there is in the NFL right now. And that's a team that's doing it through the air and his legs, not so much the running back, though they can do the job too as well. So do you feel like this is going to be a game that's going to come down to whether or not San Francisco can keep Mahomes off the side, off the field and on the sideline by running the ball, controlling the clock?
You know, when I look at this game, San Francisco, they're going to have to control the clock, because here's the thing. You can't play the I'ma outscore you game with the Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
And here's what we don't know. There's one mystery in this. The mystery is, can the 49ers play from behind? I'm just saying, I don't know.
We know that Patrick Mahomes can bring a team down, yeah, 20,
know.
Down, whatever.
We know that.
Can San Francisco come? And they did against New Orleans. Jimmy Garoppolo has put up some points against New Orleans. He's had some impressive games.
Yeah. He put up points. But I'm talking about shootout. Mm. If they fall behind, I think they were only behind by maybe six or maybe a touchdown against New Orleans.
I'm talking about a deficit.
It
sounds to me, Marshall, like you're leaning towards Kansas City.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I can and never will root for the 49ers. I'm from New Orleans. I'm a Saints fan, and I played for the Rams, and that was our rival. So, I mean, it is what it is.
I love
the organization. Just don't like the team because of what they did to me in my childhood. And I'm a John Lynch, Martin Mayhew, what they've built. And I love Kyle. I mean, Kyle's done a great job.
Yeah, he certainly has. And you look at the defensive coordinator, Robert Salah, on that team, too. They have some impressive linebackers with San Francisco. So when – as a running back who is so multidimensional like yourself, right, you could do the job running the ball. You could do it coming out of backfield, catching it. What do you look for going up against, trying to get that, create that matchup advantage, that mismatch going against the linebacker?
So before I address that question, let me just say this. In the Super Bowl, this may be the first time that you have a defensive coordinator who could be a head coach,
yes,
and an offensive coordinator that could be a head coach, and there's not a team waiting for either one of them to get done
and
be
about
there.
Eric Bieniemy.
This is a first.
Well, you know, I'm writing about this too. I could have set you up. I'm writing about this. How do you feel about, because there, we got the Rooney rule in place. There's all of that for minority hiring. Yet a guy like Eric Bieniemy, 7 interviews, man. He's had 7 interviews in the past 2 years, and I don't know what it, look at the qualification. Is it just because he's not the play caller there with Andy Reid? Like, I mean, you're looking at me like you want to say something.
If that was the case, the other two guys before him would not have gotten head coaching jobs, okay?
I hear you.
You know, it is what it is, man. Like, we could hide behind it, or, you know, it's like
it's unfortunate.
It is what it is, but it's really sad. It is sad. And you know what? You know what the funny part is? They don't care. They do not care. Nothing will be done about it.
Is this an ownership issue for you?
Who?
I mean, ultimately, they're the ones making the decision,
right? Whose league is it? The players don't own the league.
So it's an ownership.
The players don't hire coaches.
Well, we could go on and on about this topic.
Right.
Because
the players don't run the league. Actually, the players don't pay the commissioner.
No.
Come on, man. This is crazy.
And I'm sure in a few minutes from now, when Commissioner Goodell is about to take the stage, that's going to be addressed. It certainly has to be addressed because, I mean, you feel passionately about it.
I'm about to write
an article about it today, tomorrow.
Let's be honest. So he'll address it. He gets paid to address it and to make it look like it's him. But when the owners meet, ain't none of us in there pound the table and say this is wrong.
Well, Marshall, you're keeping it real, man. You are. You're keeping
it real.
It is
what it is.
Listen, I want to get to what you're doing here during the Super Bowl, why you're on Radio Row, what you're, the foundation that you're helping with, drugfreeworld.org/MF is the page for you. I mean, what you guys do, largest non-governmental anti-drug information and prevention program. I'm a guy who, man, I've never even smoked a cigarette in my life. Like, I never tried anything. But I'm passionate like you are about this because I go into prisons and sometimes I see men, I speak to them, who that has led to their downfall, addiction and things of that sort. So tell me why it's such a passionate issue for you.
Just knowing the effects of drugs, understanding the many guys that I grew up with whom were better athletes than me, that probably deserved a better chance than me, they fell victim to it. And now being in this position, understanding and knowing it comes from a lack of education, which is the root of just about everything in the world. When you are not educated about it and you don't have the information, then you can fall victim to it. And so what I'm doing with the foundation for Drug Free World is we're passing out these booklets during Super Bowl. We go to many big events and we pass out booklets and we educate people and we give them an opportunity. Drugfreeworld.org is a site where you can get the information if you're at home and you're a parent and you want to know what's going on in your kid's world or what your kid is facing out there, if you're a kid and you want to learn about these drugs. And we have a whole curriculum. We have a curriculum for schools to teach.
Yeah.
I mean, we're providing assets free of charge. All this stuff is free. You don't have to join no club. You don't have to donate. Just free of charge. Take the information. Make better decisions in life.
There's 118 million anti-drug education booklets that are being distributed now through this organization to 196 different countries,
yes,
in 22 languages. Man, that's awesome. It's really incredible.
Here's the funny part. Those numbers are huge, but it's
growing.
Not enough.
No.
It's not enough.
So tell me this, though. You guys are going out. You're educating people. You're giving out the booklets. Do they have people on the ground with the people,
yes,
who are going through that,
yes,
going through the addiction?
How
are they helping those?
Yes.
It's great to educate them, and we need to educate everybody. But how are we helping those on the, going through it?
Yes, so the education is for those whom might want to try, may have partaken, and the ones that are. The ones that are, let's say you're already an addict, we have programs that we put you in to get you help. Those people are the ones, they already know we're trying to educate before they get into the know. When you already know and you've been an addict or you are an addict or you're going through that, we just want to support you then. This information, you already had your drug of choice and you know how it's affecting. You're feeling you're going through it. Our goal is to attack the before that. The curiosity.
Yeah.
Drugs now is cool. And it ain't cool.
No, it ain't.
And they but they've made it cool.
No, it is.
They've
not.
Made it cool.
Absolutely
if you're not,
not
if you're not doing this, you're not cool. That's what we're fighting.
Well, that's where we also got to teach confidence in who you are, teaching in how you can not succumb to that peer pressure. There's so much, man. Well, I appreciate what you're doing, Marshall. So thank you so much. Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk joining us here on Radio Row.
Thank you,
man. Welcome to the show, former New York Giants wide receiver Victor Cruz. We're just going back and forth about when you played in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. What would you tell the younger guys right now? Because you get to a Super Bowl, you guys upset the Patriots with the New York Giants, and sometimes guys have a tendency to think like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm a young guy playing a Super Bowl. We're going to come back here. This is what life in the NFL is like. And you find out it's not.
Yeah, that was exactly what I thought. You know, I got to the Super Bowl my second year in the league. And I was like, oh, I got here young. I got like 3, 4, 5 of these left, especially Eli was still in his prime. But that was the only one I went to. And I only went to the playoffs, I think, one other time after that. So, I mean, that's just the way it goes. That's just the way it goes in this league. But I was happy and fortunate to play against the New England Patriots and win that football game. And it was probably one of the funnest times of my life. Just that entire process, going through media availabilities, going through that hoopla, being with your family all in one spot, playing in that big game, all the attention on one game, all the Hall of Famers walking around the stadium and walking around the field. It's just truly a one-of-a-kind experience for people that love the game of football.
You said something rare there. You said you love that experience because a lot of the media part now. Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys love all the other stuff surrounding it. You actually enjoyed the media part of it because those obligations during Super Bowl week are just insane.
It was fun for me, man. Yeah. I mean, they're asking me a bunch of silly questions that I can be silly back and just have good banter. It's only as bad as you make it to be. You know, they can ask you a bunch of questions that are hard, but you don't have
over and over and over.
But you can answer them however you want, right? They're not forcing you to answer that question. I can tell you whatever I want to do. That's what I did for the most part, and just have fun. And I think I was wearing a sombrero at one point, just having fun. So it was all good. I had a good time.
Did you do the salsa?
100%.
How many times were you asked to do that?
At least 4 times in per media availability each day. It was
That's
just like
insane.
Some reporter from Mexico or from some foreign country wanted me to do the salsa. And I obliged because I'm a good person.
Well, I saw someone asking some players the other day to do the floss dance now. So that's what she was doing.
That shows you where we've come.
Yep.
We've come a long way.
Exactly. But it's just a natural fit that you enjoyed that part of it. And here you are now in the media. Mm-hmm. You're working with Pop. What's it called? Pop of the Morning?
Yes. So along with my ESPN duties and my sports duties, I recently just signed on with the good folks over at NBC with their platform and doing a show called Pop of the Morning. Every weekday from 11 to 12. Make sure you tune in. Myself, I have 2 co-hosts named Liliana Vasquez and Scott Tweedy, and we just have fun. We just talk about current events, topics, Grammys, Oscars. You know, it's award season right now. So we're talking fashion, all sorts of different things. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I would enjoy the fashion aspect of it for sure, man.
Yeah, there
we go. Look at you. You're styling over
I'm
here.
I'm just trying to stay. We're in Miami, right?
You know?
So we got to stay cold.
Except
stay
it's like 100 degrees outside, and I'm rocking a suit right now, and I can't even walk outside because I'm scared to do that. Now, you mentioned his name, and he just retired. So before we get into this, Eli Manning, what was it like to play with a guy like that? The name, the legacy, the legend of Eli.
It was incredible. And you know, although he was a Manning and although he comes from this extremely heralded family background, he was just one of the most humble, you know, legends, in my opinion, that I've ever come across. I mean, he was always selfless. He was obviously funny too. He was funny.
Eli was funny.
He was funny. I can tell you two. One was anytime I was on Page Six magazine, I found out through Eli in the morning.
Stop it!
I swear to you. I guess he reads the post or gets the paper. And
Eli's the one.
And I'd be strolling into work. He was like, "You had a rough night last night, huh?" And I'm like, how do you know that? Well, this thing says you went to One Oak and you left at 4 in the morning. And I was like, Eli, put the newspaper down, please. Like, and then the second one is he's a practical joker.
Okay.
So he loved putting pranks on the rookies and things like that. So you know those little pellets that are on field turf, the little black things. He would walk up to the rookies and go, "Man, I got a really bad toothache, and I think I need to get this tooth pulled. Have you gotten it pulled? Can I see?" And they would lean back and show, and he'd dump all of the black pellets in their mouth as they lean back to show him that.
Eli would do that. 100%.
100%. Now I can tell all of these because he's retired, so like it's a better feeling now.
All right, Hall of Famer or not?
100%. He's a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
I think when you look at the two Super Bowl MVPs alone, you know, that's already more heralded and more accolades than some people, some quarterbacks that are in the Hall of Fame now. So if you look at that and you look at just the impact he's had both on the field and off, to have this clean image and not get into any trouble and not to, you know, say anything bad about your teammates, nothing negative about any of your teammates for 16 years, when you've had opportunity after opportunity to do the latter, I think there's something to be said about that. And that, along with his accolades on the field, I think get him into the Hall.
Well, Victor, you're here on behalf of Pepsi, and you got this Pepsi Zero Sugar going on. Carnival Cruise Lines are involved. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Pepsi's partnered up with Carnival Cruise Line, and they've done just obviously a multitude of different things throughout the week. But specifically, they're having a party at the Clevelander on Friday, and I'm excited to join. And if you want to learn how to cruise like cruise, pull up to the Clevelander. I'll be there. Pepsi products will be there. Life Water, Bubbly, Pepsi Zero, which is what you just named. And come hang out.
Well, I used to enjoy the Clevelander back when I was single.
There we go.
Yeah, so it's a good spot. But it's a good spot for everybody.
It's a good spot for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, bring your ladies.
It's all
have
good.
Have fun. Exactly. Enjoy it. It's a great atmosphere. 100%. Victor Cruz, thank you so much, man, for spending a few minutes with me.
No problem. My pleasure.
Joining me now on Radio Row from the Seattle Seahawks, the twins, the brothers, Shaquem and Shaquille Griffin. Guys, before we get into what you're doing here, because it's really cool, I was just watching the commercial. I know you don't want to, do it. You want to let him go. He is the Pro Bowl cornerback, right? Yeah. Shaquille, what was that experience like for you going to the Pro Bowl?
Well, that experience is it was amazing. And just to be back home and be able to share this experience with my brother, my family, my friends, I feel like that was the best part. And I really enjoyed it. Through that whole week, it was so hard to put it in words how I really felt. One thing I was trying to do, I was just trying to take it all in one day at a time, and it was amazing.
How much does it sting? You could both take this question. To know that the San Francisco 49ers are here, and you guys, the Seahawks, came that close to beating them final week of the season. You already had beat them one time. You were that close to beating them, dropping them. They would have been a 5 seed. You might not want to say, but I'll tell you this. If they were the 5 seed, they won't be here right now. You very well could be the ones being here. So how much does that sting for you guys?
I mean, it hurts a lot because obviously you go through so much to get to the point where you want to be in the situation when you're in the Super Bowl, and to see that it came to 1 inch on the 1 yard line right before the touchdown, and you think that you have it. Like for us, we were celebrating. We got it. We got the W, and just to see that we didn't get it, you know, it hurts. It hurts the most because you know that win to loss ratio, it would have changed everything. Obviously, we ended up getting the wild cards. We had to take the longer route. And obviously, we didn't finish how we wanted to, but we all know if the past was changed.
So
we could have been playing in the Super Bowl.
For everybody listening right now, they have no clue what's going on. So I got to explain this to everyone listening to this, unless you're watching on the video. You guys are, you're having some fun here. Is this part of being – yeah, I got two little twins. I just showed you their picture, twin girls who were 6 years old. Is this how, like, you guys look like you're having fun. You're going back and forth with the microphone. You're rolling around each other's faces, your noses. What is it like, man, being around each other? And then the fact that you're playing in the NFL and you're on the same team.
Man, it's a blessing. You know, I feel like we're living a dream right now. You know, it's been a Cinderella story from the time we started this. And I feel like the best thing we can do is enjoy, you know, every moment of it. You know, you don't know how long it will last. So since you don't, you enjoy every part of it. I feel like the best part, no matter what we do, we find the love in it. You know, we sit here and do interviews and we talk about different things. I'm going to be totally natural. I'm going to be myself. I know he is. And we're going to have fun with it. I feel like everybody deserves a couple laughs every now and then. So that's the main thing. We look for that, and we enjoy that part of it.
That's cool. Getting back real quick to the 49ers, because you almost beat them twice. What's the key to stopping this team? You did it one time. What is the key if you were going to be on the other side for Kansas City in that locker room talking to those guys? What would you tell them about stopping that offense on San Francisco? Obviously, they're a run-oriented team. Jimmy Garoppolo threw only 8 passes in the NFC Championship. Don't mean you can overlook the guy, but they're a smash-mouth run team.
Yeah, I mean, you already said it. The whole thing is just stopping the run. You know, they're a very strong run team. So, you know, obviously we got guys over there like Frank Clark who's really good on the edge. And, you know, they displayed a good showing versus the Tennessee Titans of stopping the run. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're unfamiliar with it. So they got to just come in and do the same thing, you know, get Garoppolo in a situation where, he he's not the most comfortable at. And that's been in the past game, you know, especially with him. Like you said before, you can't look past that. He's a great quarterback. He can make a lot of good throws, especially being in the pocket. But you got Frank Clark who's seen Garoppolo a few times, who went against those tackles a few times, who knows that if he can get Garoppolo off the spot, it's harder to make accurate throws. And that's something I do. You got to disrupt him. You got to make him feel uncomfortable. You got to get his feet moving, because if he can set his feet, he can make pretty accurate throws. So, you know, get a good pass rush, stop the run, and get him moving.
Man, you got the game plan down, but now they got to go out and execute it. I told you a few minutes ago, last time I saw both of you guys was in the visiting locker room in Philly after the Seahawks beat the Eagles. I cover the Eagles on a daily basis, so I knew how difficult that loss was for the Philadelphia fan base. And there were some questions as far as the hit. You know it's coming, right? Jadeveon Clowney's hit on Carson Wentz. When you guys look back on that, you know, did you think he didn't get fined? He didn't get penalized. He didn't get anything. Carson got knocked out of the game, and you guys went on to win the football game. You never want to see that happen, but what did you think of that play? Go ahead. Shaquille's asking for the microphone, so he wants to take it. He wants to let you off.
Yeah, it's different when you've been out there and being able to see what happened.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people think when things like that happen, it's intentional. You got a guy who's 270, 280 pounds, who's running extremely fast, and he finally gets to the quarterback, and he falls on top of him awkwardly. You know, I don't think his intent was, let me find a way to knock Wentz out the game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people look past that. You know, you got a guy who's giving everything because we have one common goal in mind, and that's to get to the Super Bowl, and an awkward play happened where he landed awkwardly on Wentz. And that's like, it's never intentional. And you will see us, like, when it happened, I'll be the first one. I'm taking the knee. I'm praying my butt off for him and his family. I don't have to know you. I don't know. You don't have to be a friend of mine. I never want to see someone get injured or hurt. And then if anybody does, you'll see me. I'm the first one. I'm around. I'm on the knee, and I'm praying my butt off to make sure it's nothing serious. And I'm praying for, you know, the safety of him and his family. So, and it's tough. And I'm just talking to, you know, Clowney after. That's never was his intent. He told me about a situation the year before where that happened.
With Nick Foles. Yeah,
and he never tries to do that. He's a big guy who's running extremely fast, and play as hard as he can for his organization. So
he's not well liked in Philly. I mean, what's you guys go on the road and you see different fan bases. What is the toughest fan base to go into that stadium and try and take on? Is it Philadelphia?
Philadelphia was tough. What's another one that was like Green Bay?
Green Bay? Are they nasty? Are the fans in there just?
I think Philly is the nastiest. Green Bay was pretty loud.
Okay.
So
and cold, depending on what time of year you go there.
Very cold. Yeah. Very cold.
Tell me real quick, guys, about Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. What you're doing with them, the campaign. It says same refreshing taste that fans crave, proving that some things can be as good as the original, maybe even better. It's a perfect ad campaign for Twins.
No, shout out to Mountain Dew Zero Sugar, and thank you to Mountain Dew for bringing us along. But right now, we got the Shining going on. You know, obviously the commercial just came out, you know. And just to display that, just to talk about just the Twins part of it, and it's kind of cool that they brought us along because, you know, the Twins from the Shining, we got the big wheels. I mean, not only did we got the big wheels, we got the decked out big wheels. I'm talking about it looked like Pimp My Ride. You know, it was like, who got that? It was like literally new ride, fresh off the off season. We fresh here. You know, we got the big wheels. We both rolling. We came in on a big wheel. I don't think anybody else did that. So they just let us know that we coming in style. And just to be a part of this is the biggest blessing. I mean, obviously,
Obviously, we've been big fans of Mountain Dew for a very long time growing up, and just to be a part of this, we never would have thought that we'll have the opportunity to work with Mountain Dew, but definitely grateful for it. And if you want to throw anything else in.
To summarize all that, only thing he was trying to say is drink more Mountain Dew, zero sugar.
Akil, Shaquem, thank you so much, fellas, for
thank
joining
you.
Me here.
Thank
appreciate
you
it.
Us.
This podcast is presented by Regions Bank. You're chasing your goals, and it's up to you how you want to get there. Let Regions Bank coach you with financial tips that fit your everyday grind. Visit regions.com/next-step to learn more. Regions, member FDIC.
And welcome back to Radio Row. Joining me now is the commissioner of the XFL. Football season's going to end, or is it? Because the Super Bowl is over on Sunday, but we can get our football fix with the XFL. You guys kick off a week after that. Oliver Luck, thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about how excited are you to take on this new venture?
Well, we're very excited. Thank you for having me, first of all. So, you know, no longer is the end of the football season, the Super Bowl. The season will go on, and we're here to offer good quality football, fun, up-tempo, exciting football with players who are All-Americans in college and great coaches. And right, so we're totally excited about it. We've been on this project about a year and a half, almost 2 years. Vince McMahon is our founder, our owner. And he's been working on this even longer, I think, in his head in terms of, you know, launching this. But I've been on the case for about a year and a half. And, you know, we've put a lot of pieces together. And I think we've got it all covered. Coming out of a great training camp with all eight of our teams, spending time with each other, scrimmaging against each other, et cetera. Quality of play has been pretty good. The quality of the coaching has been good. The only thing I worry about at night when I go to bed is the weather.
Well,
because it is February, and it is in New York and D.C. and right. Thankfully, markets like L.A. will be fine, and Houston, I think Tampa will be fine. But worry a little bit about the weather.
Well, you know, you'll find a way. You'll get through that. People will be excited about it. You mentioned Vince McMahon. I get excited because I grew up in a Hulkamania era in wrestling and watch. Is there going to be any kind of crossover, anything that we can look forward to potentially with –
Not
WWE?
Really.
No?
Not
okay.
really. I mean, the similarity between this version of the XFL, right, 2020 and 2001 is really non-existent. Aside from the title of the league, the name of the league, we are focused 100% on football. Mm-hmm. Vince, when I joined the company, said, listen, I want you to build this league and build it the right way, strong foundation, get respected football men, guys like Bob Stoops, or Kevin Gilbride up in New York, you know, the OC, former OC of the Giants when they won those Super Bowls. You know, guys that Mark Trestman down in Tampa won a couple of Grey Cups, former Bears head coach. Those kind of coaches, right, attract the best possible players we can.
I'm looking at that list,
we wanted great football, and great football, and not just sort of the, you know, the I don't know, hype, I guess.
The hype,
right?
The entertainment value.
Right.
But you guys have compiled a very impressive list of coaches. The Bob Stoops, Kevin Gilbride, Mark Trestman, Jim Zorn, Winston Moss, Pep Hamilton. Was it difficult to get these guys on board, to get them excited, or were they really, you know, let's go, let's do this?
Well, I would say that some of those guys, you know, turned me down initially.
Really?
To be honest with you, June Jones turned me down. Bob Stoops turned me down. But, yeah, this was all over a year ago. And, you know, they wanted to – but we stayed in touch. They wanted to know a little bit more about the league. They wanted to really know, is this going to be real football?
Yeah.
Are we going to play the game that, you know, we all know and love? And the answer is yes, we will. It's going to be 11 on 11, four down, you know, referees, you know, the whole – I mean, what we expect. So, you know, for them, it was a decision that they made. They're all in different places. Sort of in there, you know, Pep is a relatively young coach on his way up. Jim Zorn's, you know, been retired really for a year or two since, you know, his experiences in the NFL. Bob Stoops, quite honestly, wanted to take a little bit of time off from the rigors of college coaching, and in particular because he's got a son who's playing college football, and he wanted to spend his falls watching his kid play and not be responsible for a program like, you know, Oklahoma's or anywhere else, because Bob could probably coach at any college in the country.
You would think,
he's
of
that,
course.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, that talented. So, but I think it's a great group of coaches. They are all, I would say, this, you know, very proudly football men, right? That take the game very seriously. They've in turn hired great assistant coaches. You got Norm Chow calling plays in L.A., the former the former head coach for Hawaii, and been out in USC and other places. You've got Hal Mumme, the architect of the air raid system. He was Mike Leach 50 years ago. You got Hal calling plays for Bob Stoops in
It's going to be interesting.
You got June in Dallas. You got June Jones, who's a great play caller. The run and shoot. If you go way back to Warren Moon and the old Oilers, you got
who was just here 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, you got June, who's calling plays in Houston as the head coach down there. So these are all respected head coaches. If I had to sort of say what connects them, it's all sort of their offensive, creativity and their willingness to kind of push the boundaries offensively, because that's the kind of game we want to play, this up-tempo, fast-paced, high-scoring game.
You mentioned real football, so we're not going to see any kind of dramatic rule changes or anything like that, but the emphasis is going to be on less stall, more ball. Can you tell us about that?
So I think of the things that we changed, the rules that we changed, are innovations. Probably the most important one is the 25 second clock, right? So that's a 25-second clock between plays. The NFL's, by comparison, 40 seconds. That just means you got to play fast. You got to get in and out of the huddle. You got to get your play call in. You got to play fast. That's what fans want. They don't like to see guys standing around in the huddle. They want to see plays. They want to see action. So that's going to be important. But I'll give you an example of an innovation that we made that's minor, but I think it will lead to some really positive scenes for fans, and that is the punt. Think about a punt. You have the two gunners, right? The outside guys, the guys who line up like wide receivers. In the NFL, they leave the snap of the ball. Their job is to run down and either tackle the punt returner or force them to make a fair catch. We're holding those guys back so they can't leave until the ball is kicked. It's only about 2 seconds difference, right? But that gives that punt returner that much more time and space to catch the ball and make a punt return.
Oh, that could be fun.
And we think it's safer. And we also think it's more exciting for fans, because fans tell us a fair catch is kind of dull. But a punt return is fun. It's one of the great plays of football. So
of course,
we have a lot of what we consider to be relatively modest tweaks, but we think they'll lead to a lot more action and more fun and more exciting plays, and that's what we're all about.
Who are some of the players that you are really hyped up about, excited to see? I know Cardale Jones is going to be there. He's with Pep Hamilton in D.C., and this could be an opportunity for him. Anyone else?
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of guys that I'm looking forward to see. St. Louis has a young quarterback named Jordan Te'amu, played at Ole Miss. Very talented guy. A little bit rough around the edges still, but I'm really excited to see what he can do at the quarterback position. Chuck Long, who's a great quarterback himself, is their offensive coordinator, and Chuck's calling plays, and I think Chuck's going to be a great mentor for Jordan Te'amu. He played at Ole Miss in the SEC, a very good player down there. I think Cardale, you mentioned him. I'm excited to see if he can recapture that magic he had in that Ohio State run, when they won the national championship. Matt McGloin is the quarterback up in New York.
Okay.
Former Penn Stater, former Raider. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. He, I think, threw the ball about as well as anybody when I saw him down in training camp. Christine Michael, another good football player, running back. Had a very
Seattle
nice NFL.
Seahawks.
Exactly. Had a nice NFL career. He's in the league. I'm excited to see him. There's a whole bunch of guys. A couple wide receivers, Sammy Coates in Houston, who's a former Auburn player. A guy named Jazz Ferguson in Dallas, who's going to be playing for Stoops. He caught every ball he could down in training camp and just looked great. So there's a bunch of guys that I'm excited about. As you can tell, I'm only mentioning offensive players.
Well,
that's what old quarterbacks do. We focus on the offense.
Speaking of old quarterbacks, you played in the league. Your son Andrew played in the league. Everybody's still thinking about how he abruptly retired and where he is. And if there's a possibility, Oliver, is there a possibility? Have you talked to him? Where is he at right now? And I understand it's a father-son bond relationship. What can you tell us about Andrew?
Well, he's retired, obviously. He and his wife had their first child back around Thanksgiving, 10 weeks ago or so.
Does that make you a first-time grandpa?
First-time grandpa, yes. He's doing great. My wife and I spent a lot of time with him over the holidays. I didn't notice any desire to get back as a player. He still loves the game, enjoys the game. He's been a sort of unofficial sounding board for me. I'll ask him questions about this or that and get his opinion.
Cool.
He's still close to a lot of players, in the National Football League, but his opinion, I think, with me, carries some weight. But we'll see what he does. He's got the world in his hand, in a sense, right?
Of course.
You know, he put a bunch of money in the bank when he was playing and has a nice wife and daughter now, so he's got the Stanford degree. So he's got all kind of
opportunities. He's okay, yeah, but he's got that itch.
I'm not worried about him. Well,
yeah, if he's got that itch, you never know. But you didn't get that sense that it could be anything.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense that he has any desire to go back and play. I mean, he enjoyed it, right? And still enjoys the game and still follows the game closely, but no hankering, as I like to say, to get back into the middle of the huddle.
Oliver Luck, XFL commissioner, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob.
I want to welcome in Tariq Cohen from the Chicago Bears. Tariq, this season for you, how would you describe it? Because when you look at your stats, you know, you have fewer opportunities to run the ball. You had a lot. You had more catches, right? But 79 is a ton for a running back. But then receiving yards were much fewer. So when you look at the totality of your season, how would you describe it?
I just feel like it wasn't a consistent year by me or our offense. I feel like, when we get our run game going, that opens up a lot, you know, throughout the other offense. And I feel like we didn't really have an identity this year in terms of our offense, and it showed this season.
From a running back's perspective, and I've asked other running backs that I've spoken to in the past couple days, because you look at the two teams playing in the Super Bowl and the 49ers, as run dominant as they are, playing that smash mouth football, but they don't just run power right up the middle. They got all kinds of innovative ways to run the ball. How exciting would it be to play in some kind of offense like that?
Oh, it's very exciting, you know, to not be one-dimensional in any way. It's always exciting for an offensive player, because it keeps the defense at guard and they don't never know what's coming at them.
Now, you guys had obviously it was a disappointing season for the offense, disappointing season for the team. How do you look to rebound from that? You look at certain players on a team and you go, well, maybe they took a few steps forward, maybe somebody is caught in a little bit of a rut and they can get better next year. How do you look to rebound from that? How good could the Chicago Bears be next season?
I feel like everybody is going to look at themselves first. That's what I feel like our locker room is built on, is accountability, and everybody's going to, you know, dedicate themselves to working this offseason and just come back with a great mentality and a, you know, great mental aspect of just being better next year. And I feel like we're definitely ready, you know, to put last season behind us and work on next year.
Well, you're going to want them to come into training camp kind of like you did last year, right? So last year I saw that you rode into training camp on a Polaris slingshot, and you said that the Bears were trying to win multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to win one Super Bowl. It's not even easy to get here. What was that all about?
It was just the confidence that I have in our team. You know, we definitely have the players around and the type of mentality to do that. And I feel like we're still, even though we had a bad season, we're still dedicated to that goal.
What happened with that? How did that take off? You know, riding into training camp, you were wearing a Walter Payton jersey. You had the all-gold Polaris slingshot, which is it was a three-wheeled roadster, no doors, all that stuff. Like, where did that idea come from, and what are you doing here?
It was just, you know, me being a fun guy, and it was my birthday. So I did something for my birthday, and it's also Walter Payton's birthday, so I wore the jersey just to show love to him. And his son, who's a reporter on our team. So, you know, I'm just all about the fun.
All about having fun. How do you think you would handle a week like this? Because it's wild. If you were a player in the game, it's crazy. It can get too much at times. Because the media obligations during the season are demanding. At the Super Bowl, you got the media night Monday. Then you got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
By Friday, you're done with the media. You could really just focus on football. What do you think is the best way to handle that?
Just to not do anything extra than what you have to do. You know, you have to do what's required of you. And then at the end of the day, you just got to realize why you're here, and that's to play in the Super Bowl. So I feel like it wouldn't be too hard.
Now, next year, you planning to go into camp with another one of the slingshots?
Nah, it wasn't received too well by the coaches, so I'm going
Is that right?
I might ride a bike or something.
Did you get fined? You didn't get fined or anything
I didn't get fined.
No? All right. No. Well, tell me about the Polaris slingshot with the new lineup for 2020. What do you got?
Yes. Right now I've been driving around the 2020 Polaris slingshot. New steering wheel, new suspension system, new transmission. Now it's automatic instead of just standard, so everybody can drive it now. And also, people can enter for a chance to win one. Type in PolarisSlingshot.com, and then you put in It's Automatic, and then you'll enter in the sweepstakes.
You're giving one away, huh?
Not me, but I think the company is.
Well, Tariq, thank you so much, man, for spending a few minutes with us here.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Super Bowl edition of the AP Top 25 College Football Podcast. I'm Rob Motti. Lily Singh joins me now. She is an actor, founder of Girl Love, late night TV host, and social media sensation. Lily, we're here for the Super Bowl, and this week, kids all around the country, it used to be, right, they would look up to the athletes and aspire to be like them. I'll bet you more kids want to aspire to be like you, a megastar on YouTube. What's your advice for anyone who wants to go that route?
Well, first of all, that's very sweet of you. Tell me more. Flatter me more. My advice would be, you know, a lot of kids come up to me or parents come up to me saying my kid really wants to get into YouTube or the digital space in general. And I always say, you know, there's a lot of viable career options in social media. I think social media is here to stay. I think it's very powerful, especially with brand alignments. There's just so many various things you can do in social media, but I think it's important to start with a passion. You know, a lot of kids come up to me and say, I'll be famous, how do I make money? Start with a passion, start with a message, start with content that excites you. All that stuff will come later. You know, when I started YouTube, I didn't do it to be rich and famous. I did it because I wanted to create content. Absolutely.
It was just a desire to.
Absolutely.
Well, so I showed you a picture of my six-year-old twin girl.
Adorable.
Should I be getting them started on a little bit?
If they got the personality, if that's what they want to do, for sure. But I think, you know, like all things, social media is a double-edged sword. It's great to express yourself. It's great to even make a living off of as of right now. But you don't want to force it upon people. You don't want to turn yourself from a human being into a complete brand. I think you got to just be a little bit strategic about how to maintain your happiness and also have a career in social media.
Well, here's the thing about social media, too. A lot of times, you know, for as positive as it can be, there's a lot of negativity.
Of course,
and there's a way that you have to figure out how to handle anything that comes your way. Now, you created this initiative, hashtag Girl Love. Encouraging people not to go that way.
Right.
Tell me what that means to you.
So I started Girl Love basically because I used to talk at a lot of high schools and a lot of elementary schools, and girls would be saying the same things that I experienced when I was younger, which is, you know, the girls don't get along at my school. We kind of are forced into this predicament where there's different cliques and we're not supposed to like each other. We're supposed to be mean.
Kind of like Mean Girls, right?
Exactly. And I think, you know, women are very often taught that it has to be that way. We have to be competitive. There isn't enough space for all of us. And Girl Love is all about, no, we should support our sister. There is enough space, which is why I really like the Olay campaign, because it's all about making space for women.
Well, speaking of, because, I mean, you're a natural fit, obviously, for this Olay campaign. So it's you, it's Taraji P. Henson, Katie Couric, Nicole Stott, and Busy Phillips. So tell everybody who hasn't, well, what is it about?
So the Olay ad is an ad with a purpose, which I absolutely love. It is about supporting women in STEM and encouraging women to get into STEM and making space for women to do so. So not only is it a great message, creating awareness, but Olay is putting their money where their mouth is, and they are donating $1 to Girls Who Code for every tweet that uses the hashtag Make Space for Women.
So it's a hashtag Make Space for Women.
So all you got to do is tweet.
And tag at Olay, right? And then they're going to donate $1 Girls Who Code. Now, when you think about that, Make Space for Women, I mean, it's a powerful message. What does that mean to you?
For me, it means that, you know, I think we're so often, when we look at industries, whether it's entertainment, which is where I come from, or sports or STEM, we think there's always a certain number of slots. You know, like, oh, okay, we have one diverse person, we have one, there's not enough space for everyone. But there is enough space for everyone. I think industries need to be diverse in every way, and that includes having more women, because these industries impact the world. And if you're impacting the world, then you got to look like the world as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the campaign and the commercials about going into space, right?
I'm an astronaut in it.
Listen, would you, now, if you really had that opportunity, would you go into space? Like, I'll tell you, I'm so high maintenance. I need a bathroom. I need a shower.
I mean, you look great, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Would I actually go into space? Here's the thing. So the commercial features a real astronaut, Nicole Stott, as you mentioned. And I picked her brain instantaneously. I met her and I was like, tell me what's the deal with space. What does the Earth look like? I learned all these fascinating facts. And so I can 100% with confidence say I would absolutely never go into space because it seems scary.
What is your, do you have a go-to Olay product? Is there something with Olay that, you know, that you can... So I came down here, right? Could you believe this? I forgot my blot powder. So I had to run out into the store and get
Well, you know what? You're here with the Olay ambassador.
I mean, here they are. I'm looking around. Somebody got to hook me up. Help me out. I'm shiny.
I mean, I genuinely do love every Olay product I've tried, but if there was one I had to really pick that I'm like, oh, I just can't live without this one, it would be the Olay Retinol 24, which is the one I use at night before I go to bed. Yeah, I wake up feeling like amazing. I can actually look in the mirror and notice the difference of my skin.
That's awesome.
And it just, my confidence has boosted. Just so many things about my life have changed just having that routine of putting that on. Because my life is crazy. I don't have many routines. But having a skincare routine makes me feel like I'm just a little sane.
All right. So before you get out of here, tell me about it. You're hosting a late night show.
I know.
Hey, did you ever imagine when you started? You said you didn't even aspire to get into like entertainment. Could you have ever imagined hosting a late night show? And how much fun are you having doing that?
I mean, I never imagined it. If you look at my vision board, it's me on other people's late night shows. I never thought I would be in the other seat. So that's all about the power of just believing and manifesting and working hard. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I've learned so much. Truly, I feel like that's how I define success as a person. It's not numbers. It's not deals. It's how much are you learning in a day? And I go to that set and I'm there for 12 hours. And the things I learn are things I feel like it would have taken me a lifetime to learn otherwise. And so it's been a great experience.
Well, that's awesome. I got to ask you a football question.
Now,
we're
of
here
course,
for the
let's
Super
do
Bowl.
It.
Are you a fan? Do you what? Do you have any rooting interest for
so
either team or anything?
So here's the thing. Straight up, real talk, don't know anything about it. I know about the snacks, though. I'm going to a Super Bowl party. I'm there for the snacks. And I'm very curious how they make that yellow line move live on TV.
I love that, right? That's awesome. Well, Lily Singh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For joining us here. Appreciate your time.
From Lily Singh to one of her co-stars in Olay's Super Bowl ad, Busy Phillips is here.
Busy, you have accomplished so much in your career, right?
Trying.
All kinds of accomplishments, but this is your first Super Bowl ad. What does that feel like?
It's huge. Are you kidding? I'm so excited. Plus, I'm friends with a ton of actors in Los Angeles. I go to the same Super Bowl party every year, same people. There's always a few of our friends that are in Super Bowl ads, and it's kind of like... It is the Super Bowl for actors to be in a Super Bowl commercial. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
So this is my Super Bowl, Rob, and I'm very excited about it.
What was the best part for you about shooting that commercial? There's so many different people involved in that. Taraji and Katie Couric.
Yeah.
Lily Singh.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool was that?
It was great. Lily and I got to hang out most of the day together. I got to hang out with Katie Couric, who is just an icon. Mm-hmm. Taraji worked the day before us because of her schedule. So I love her so much, and I was like bummed that I didn't get to hang with her on set. But I love that
they could do a party together or something. You know, there's gotta be a premiere.
100%. Well, we've been on I've been on a panel with her before, so we have met. I love that it was an all female cast. I love that we had a woman behind the camera directing us, Jamie Babbitt. I love that Madonna Badger it runs the ad agency. You know, it's a female owned agency. I just love that Olay continues to really put their money where their messaging is, and I'm so proud to work with the brand because I have two little girls, and I really do believe that part of what is so important in media is that people are able to see themselves reflected back in the things that they consume, not just the TV shows they watch or the movies that they watch, but also the radio that they listen to, the content that they watch online, and the commercials, you know?
Right.
And so to show girls, also, by the way, Nicole Stott, a real astronaut, is in this commercial.
Speaking of which, right? And first, let me show you my girls, because I have
to. Are they twins?
Yes. I'm such a proud dad.
Are they eight?
Six.
Six. Oh, my God, they're so cute. Wait, my daughter's six. My little one's six.
No way.
Yeah, six and a half.
Play
I would
date.
Love
what
it.
What do you think?
Yeah.
So speaking of Nicole, astronaut, right?
So
I asked Lily this question, and I told her how I would feel about it. Would you actually, if you had the opportunity, go into space? I'm too high maintenance for it.
Okay.
I can't.
First of all, I could not handle the training. I talked to Nicole Stott a lot about her training, and it involved being deep underwater.
What?
Yes, that's how they train astronauts, because you have to, like, I don't know.
It's not a submarine.
Guys, I don't know.
Really?
Yes. No, she, like, in a suit, moving underwater. And
wow.
I get claustrophobic. Do you get claustrophobic?
Yes, yes, very much so.
Okay, so I don't think space is for us.
No.
If
no.
you get claustrophobic, I think you're out. Also, I like to be around a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not great in space.
Well, let's get back to the messaging, because it's so important, right?
Yes,
it's
love
the
it.
Hashtag make space
make
for women.
Make space for women.
So as a girl dad, as a woman, like, how important is that message for you to really just spread that everywhere we go? Because it's 2020, things are changing. Make space for women, not just in literally space, but everywhere we go and everything we do.
Yes. I mean, I think that there are so many industries that are still striving for gender parity. And the more that we can talk about this, the more that we can have this conversation, mm-hmm. and the more that we can have huge brands like Olay and, you know, Procter & Gamble putting their money behind this idea, the better off we're all going to be. And the more we're going to be able to put pressure on industries to make the right choices and to include more people. And the fact is, yes, it's 2020. Maybe people think we shouldn't be even be having this conversation, but we are, and we're going to continue to have it.
It's unfortunate that we have to have this conversation, because it should have been 100 years ago.
Correct.
We should have been making space for women all along. Forever. It shouldn't
yes.
have, but hey, I'm glad it's evolving and it's continuing, and you're doing a great, what you're doing is awesome for it.
Thank you. And, you know, it involves everyone's participation. It's not just about women making space for themselves. It's about everyone, regardless of gender, being inclusive and making it a priority. And also for men to be able to recognize their part and to be participatory in that too. And thank you for being a girl dad.
Well, thank you. There's nothing better than being
nope,
a girl dad.
There isn't.
Right? I mean, hearing daddy, I love you, is like, I melt every single time. I don't even want to be, I'm in Miami at the Super Bowl. I want to be home hugging my kids. Okay, this product has to be your favorite, Olay, right?
This is what I
Tell
use.
Me about it, because I need some help right now.
No, you
I'm
don't.
Shining,
you look great.
Shining.
You look great.
Thank
I use
you.
The Olay Regenerous Microsculpting Cream. This is mine. But I also have, oh, wait, I left my purse in the green room. I always
you
carry.
You don't want to do that.
I know. Well, it's with someone. I always have my Olay sunscreen with me.
Okay.
That's the most important thing for anti-aging. Let's just be real. We need to protect self-care, sun care, self-care. Oh, this is it.
There it is.
I buy this, by the way. Yes, I have. Yes, I am one of the faces of Olay, and I bought this at the drugstore, just so you
literally
know.
You just walked in?
Yeah, because I run out, and I needed it, and this has shine control.
Can we send her some boxes of this? Can we ship the product to Busy Phillips, please?
It's okay. I don't mind supporting the brands, because
That's
I
good.
Love the message that they put into the world, and I love what the product does. So.
All right, of all the roles you've had.
Yes.
What is the one that most people identify you with or come up to you and just want to talk to you about it? Because I'm going to tell you mine, White Chicks.
Yeah.
Is
White Chicks is big. It's high up there. Yes, that is definitely a big one. I would have to say most recently it's been the role of Busy Phillips. That's been the one that people really want to talk to me about. And that's kind of thrilling to me and an interesting turn in my career, but I'm happy that people really feel connected to me and want to hang out with me and be my best friend.
That's super cool. I got to throw in a football question before you get out of here. We're here for
okay,
the Super
okay,
Bowl.
Okay, that's right.
So are you ready to analyze the X's and O's?
Mm-hmm,
you
sure,
break
sure.
It down?
I can just,
You want to do the run game?
I mean,
anything?
All of the games.
Let's do this. I mean, you're from California. You got to be rooting for San Fran to represent?
For sure.
Okay. What kind of Super Bowl party are you going to be involved? It's Super Bowl party. It's going to be
a
watch
party.
Party.
It's,
it's going to be everything.
So my,
like, what's a Busy Phillips party like?
Oh, a Busy Phillips party is like the best. I mean, you can just go on my Instagram and look at the party I threw myself for my 40th birthday. I threw myself essentially a wedding. My husband was like, okay, that's interesting. But I was like, yes, it's for me.
Nice.
My husband has like had the same group of friends that have been like the football friends for over 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. So we get together with all of them. Everybody's got families now. And so all the kids are there. And like, it's just, it really is a wonderful day. Like the kids are out back playing football. The people are watching in the, you know, in the big room, like making snacks, and it's all potluck, and it's just a really amazing day, and I'm very excited that I'm going to have a little part in it this year with my commercial.
Enjoy the game.
Thank you.
Seeing yourself in your first Super Bowl ad.
So
Busy
crazy.
Phillips,
thanks
you so much
you
for
too.
Joining us.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
That wraps up episode 2 of the Super Bowl edition of the AP Top 25 College Football Podcast. I'm Rob Motti, and we'll be back from Radio Row in Miami all week.
This podcast is presented by Regions Bank. You're chasing your goals, and it's up to you how you want to get there. Let Regions Bank coach you with financial tips that fit your everyday grind. Visit regions.com/next-step to learn more. Regions, member FDIC.